everybody.
Good morning.
Let's see. Etta, how about starting us off with a word of prayer? As soon as you're done chewing.
Can I chew this first?
That's what I said. As soon as you're done chewing. It always happens that way. The minute you put something in your mouth, somebody.
All on you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, Father, Father.
Thank you. Yes.
Lord, we're here this Sunday just for you.
Yes, Lord.
We come together, even if there's just us few, it doesn't make any difference.
That's right.
Your word will be said,
yes,
believed, and honored.
Yes.
We feel privileged to be here. And yes, to talk with just you.
Amen.
Yes.
We ask you to help us. Help us understand what words are said today.
Yes.
And that they'll come true. We know they'll come true.
Yes.
And of course we ask all these things in your precious name.
Yes.
Amen.
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 That was a good prayer.
Very good.
Is it okay?
Yes. That was a good prayer.
Yes,
good.
It was. Yes, it was.
Mm. Good morning, everybody.
Good
Hang
morning.
On just a minute while I look something up.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
That sounded like an head.
My phone just turned on. I had it turned off.
Well, while we're sitting here, I want to thank God for going home celebration for Mary, Buddy's sister. How faithful God is. Tobias was in the hospital.
Was he able to do it?
He got out. Okay. And he's got on antibiotics and all. He's got a sore on the bottom of his foot. Well, he's got a little bead or something on the bottom of his foot. I think he thought it was a new shoe. Yeah, I don't know what. But he was in the hospital on Saturday, and me and Buddy picked him up Tuesday. Service was Wednesday. God was just so blessed. Because he hadn't just by himself had a service. I know he did his dad's service and his brothers. But this is more, I have the nursing home, funeral home and everyone. And Daddy was brought by the nephew. And she recognized a lot of faces.
Good.
But she, and she understood during the service was over and more, but she's having a hard time. She knows she don't understand the things,
yes.
And she says, I don't understand, I don't, mm-hmm. But her, Mary's son, Gray, said when Tobias was praying, she was praying right along, mm-hmm. Just as clear as she does in the spirit. When we go visit her and we pray with her, I'm telling you, bypasses that natural mind. In the spirit, she begins. She's almost going to cry because she's so precious to us.
I love that.
I tell you, she's been a mother and
Mary,
a Lord
yes.
to me.
Sweet
thank
ladies,
God
both.
For his faithfulness and the moving of him. Mm-hmm. And Buddy shared.
I remember when my oldest brother said that she was a mother figure when our mom passed away.
How many kids are there in your family?
Because
you said you got another one that
was...
With
there was 12.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so there's only like Betty, Janet, Bobby, myself left.
When are you going to bring that little boy back?
Rashid.
He is.
RJ. Yeah.
Because Savannah gets out of Marysville on March 22nd. Oh. And she said she wants to come down and wants to bring him. I said, wait, you see.
He don't need anybody here. Just him. Because I just love him. He just goes right with it.
Yeah, Lord.
And he loves to dance. And he plays them tambourines.
Yes.
You gave him that one time. Boy, he liked them.
He wanted to bring that back there. His name is, what God gave to her was Benjamin.
Oh,
she
Benjamin.
She was carrying him. And I shared, she said, oh, this week, Benjamin's been coming to me when I was taking her to the doctor. I go over to Columbus and take her. She was going once a week then. And I said, what? And she said, Benjamin. And we had been talking about Benjamin that Sunday before, and the meaning son of the right hand, and I told her that, but then she was pressured by his father to name him after, you know, him. But my one cousin calls him Benji. He said he's Benjamin to me. He really is Benjamin. When you see him and singing, there was one song I would have, I can't remember what it was on a CD, and he'd want me to play it. He was small in the car seat, small. And I think,
I called him RJ.
Yeah, he says, RJ, didn't he say, that's, what's that?
It's not my name, I said, yes, I explained to him that you're a junior, so.
R was for the Rossi, J was for the junior, and he said, oh, so he accepted, you know, that. But I just thank God there's been many deaths in our band, many families that's been touched, and a pastor, Tobias's pastor passed.
Yeah.
And his service is Wednesday. And then a sister, a group that we have of God has given, Covenant Sisters, and we have a little website of our that we go back and forth, and that we share prayers and needs and all, and keep in touch with one another. And now I'm one of the girls, because we're from different churches, her pastor is in the hospital and he's got lung cancer. There's just a lot of news thinking about my brother Evie, thinking about all the many that have gone on.
Really got the same, his eyes in the spirit. That wasn't on the program, but at the last moment, you know.
She asked. Because Mary's son, Derek.
She sang it a cappella.
His eye and anointed. Yes. And she sang that
Isn't it, you know, you can almost feel like the bleachers are filling up. That great cloud of witnesses, you know, and there they, and the greater they become, the finale. You know,
Is any of you watch this Shaq?
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of like the guy, the father. Because that little girl was so cute. And she loved her daddy so much. Mm-hmm. I couldn't take it. I watch it constantly.
It's a good movie.
And, you know, and I get mad because I went through the same thing, kind of thing, same thing he was going through. And but imagine meeting all of them.
Oh, yes.
God.
And Jesus.
Jesus. And then, the Spirit or?
Yes.
Spirit.
Yes.
Spirit.
Yes.
Spirit.
Jesus.
All of them at one time. Mm-hmm. You know.
And I loved it when they had that meeting in the, you know, outside. To praise and worship Jesus, and he opened, and Jesus opened his eyes that he could see
reality.
And he was so overcome by it that at the end they all laughed. They said, well, what do you think it'd be like if we'd have opened your ears too?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It's, you know, these things are going to be, they're going to lose their ability to touch our spirit, or the spirit, the God spirit in us, because greater is he that's in us. And those people that we think are gone are not. They are part of us. There is one man in the earth today. We are all one. And I believe that's why the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Because when you forgive someone else, you are, in fact, in truth, forgiving yourself, because they're a part of you and you're a part of them. Any judgment that you do on anyone else, it just turns around and comes back and it's right on you.
But I like the way they separated them, God, even though they were one, they separated them for you, you know. And each one of them had to go through, you had to go through a trial. And I like the one that says, you judge, you be the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't do it. I'm glad I don't have that job.
Hallelujah.
Because.
Well, let's get going, guys.
Yeah.
Let's see. I believe that we went past Romans 11:4. We went into the meaning of the 7,000. Where did we now? Did we get to? I don't know why I wrote this down, but by every word that precedeth. Is there something about that here in Romans 11?
Did we end up on 10 or something like that?
Yeah, we got up to about 10, and I have some things about Romans 11:9. I don't think we really covered that real well. I love 8. Let's start at 8, okay? Let's start at 8. Romans 11:8. I'm going to read it out of the King James, and then I'd also like to read it out of the Passion Bible. Romans 11:8. According as it is written, God hath given them, talking about the Jews, what they think they're talking about. You know, they are probably really talking about those who do not see, you know, no matter what they call themselves. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. It's hard to find fault with somebody if they don't see and they don't hear, if God is the one who gave them the spirit of slumber and deafness. And then 11:9 says, and David said, and that was in the Psalms, let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back away. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. That's kind of interesting. So God had it already ordained that, you know, because Where does it say he came unto his own and his own received him not? Is that John?
Gospel of John.
And it was ordained by God from before the beginning. He knew it was going to happen. But they're receiving him, not receiving him, is the very door opening for us. That if God gave them eyes that can't see and ears that can't hear, thankfully he gave us eyes that can see and ears that can hear. So praise God for that, and let's find no fault with our brothers and sisters who don't. Now I'd like to read that in the Passion too, because I liked it. 9 and 10, okay, and 11 too. 9, and King David also prophesied this, and that has a footnote that says, oh, I have to go back up, sorry. Just as it is written, God granted them. He granted them. I wonder if they were asking for it. Maybe they knew beforehand, you know? There was a lot of talking going on before the foundation of the world. God granted them a spirit of deep slumber. He closed their eyes to the truth and prevented their ears from hearing up to this very day. And King David also prophesied this. And I like this a lot. This is what I was talking about when you were talking about that other situation. May their table prove to be a snare and a trap to cause their ruin. Bring them the retribution they deserve. Blindfold their eyes and don't let them see. Let them be stooped over continually. The footnote says, this could also be a metaphor for their false security, being in a place of well-being and favor. King David's son Absalom held a banquet as a pretense to murder his brother Amnon in 2 Samuel chapter 13. But Psalm 69, verse 22. Not very well prepared today. This is kind of left over from last week, and I didn't. This has something in it that really spoke to me. Psalm 69, 22 and 23. That's where they get this. It says, it says, let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make them their joints continually to shake. Oh, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy faithful anger take hold of them. Well, that was David speaking. That was the Psalm of David. But what I thought was interesting in that was go back to just two verses. It says, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. What do you think he was seeing at that time?
Jesus.
Yeah, it was very interesting to me that it spoke of the crucifixion. And then it says, and let their table become a snare before them. What is their table? Their human appetites? Let their human appetites become a snare before them. Well, I know that very well. All kinds of human appetites. It can be a snare. and that which should have been their welfare, let it become a trap. He goes on to say an awful lot of not very nice things about these people that gave, you know, gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink.
You know, they had, as a reference us in Isaiah, Deuteronomy, and that, and really what I was seeing is that we see these as examples, learn from these, what has happened and why they were given this, and he darkened their vision and that, because he wants us to see, not follow the same way, but to know him and see them as examples, because they're back there. He talks about Deuteronomy, of what he's done, having not fed them the 40 years, their clothes did not wear out, all that they had to eat, all their needs were being met by him. Yet, what happened to that generation? You know, then we should look as examples, see them and learn from these examples.
It says in talking about in Romans 11, verse 8, then you go to Isaiah 29, verse 10, it says, for the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep. Mm-hmm. He has closed your eyes, the prophets, mm-hmm. and your heads, the seers. He has covered and muffled it. And the vision of all this has come for you like the words of a book that is sealed. The men gave it to one who can read, saying, read this, I pray you. He says, I cannot, for it is sealed. And when the book is given to him who is not learned, saying, read this, I pray you. He says, I cannot read. So then in 13 it says, and the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but remove their hearts and minds far from me, and their fear and reverence for me are a commandment of men. This is learned by repetition without any thought as to the meaning. And, you know, you can read further down, like in 14 and 15. But, I mean, that covers, you know, like in verse 8 in Romans, like, you know, I mean, if he, you know, like, closes the eyes of the prophets and the heads. I mean,
you're in Romans 11, right?
Yeah.
Then down in 15, interesting, it says, for if their temporary rejection, now see, that's pretty, I mean, that's pretty clear. The rejection is temporary. They are not lost forever.
No.
No way. God did that for our good.
Yeah, I left something out.
If their temporary rejection released this reconciling power of grace, thank God for grace, into the world, what will happen when Israel is reinstated and reconciled to God? That's something that we hardly ever talk about. And yet, I was thinking about it a lot today with all the, you know, what will happen? And here it says, it will unleash resurrection power throughout the entire earth. Wow. Mm-hmm. Not far off. I was thinking about that this morning. We don't, you know, there's a lot going on in the world today. Mm-hmm. God can change a continent with one swoop of his hand. Lift the blindness, unstop the hearing. Boom. Boom. Wow.
In the King James, the 15th verse says, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, That's good, the world, that's everything. You know, then shall the receiving of them be life from death.
Wow.
You know, I like that. It's the reconciling of the world.
Yes.
We know it says up in, you know, in different places in scriptures that God was in Christ reconciling the world
yes.
unto himself. You know, when if you look at this general story here, to the natural mind, it sounds foolish. Well, why didn't God just reconcile them all to begin with and just didn't go through? You know, I mean, that's the way your natural mind would tend to think, you know. Why go through all this rigmarole? But the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men, you know. And he chose foolish things to confound the wise, you know. And you know, just like what I've told you guys before about in Josephus, what it said about Herod, you know.
Mm-hmm.
God did deal with Herod, you know. He did deal with, and he did deal with Israel
mm-hmm.
many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
He sent the prophets to them time after time after time. And what did they want to do to the prophets?
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to kill them.
Yeah.
They cast them down in pits. They did everything they could do to them. What will the world do to Christian prophetic ministries today? But try to beat them down, try to humiliate them, try to make them look as bad as they can, you know. And you know, that's not going to change until the full revelation of Jesus Christ comes into the earth. And it's going to take the children of God growing up into that mature man so that all creation will be set free into that glorious liberty of being the children of God. Like it says in Romans the 8th chapter, it's going to take that. And, you know, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men, you know. And, you know, we have to realize that he hid these things from them because had they seen them in, with their natural mind, they would have gotten exalted and would have begun to think more highly of themselves than they ought to, you know. And that's one reason why even if God gives you revelation and things, you need to realize he's revealing these things. He hides them from the wise. He reveals them to the foolish. So you're not so wise just because he reveals some beautiful things to you. It's because he so chose to take the weak things to confound the wise. So we need to remember where we are in our own strength. Our own strength is nothing. It's like the dirt on the floor. But his strength will be made perfect in that nothingness of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come to that realization, then we have a tendency to not get puffed up. You know,
mm-hmm.
Israel was kind of puffed up a little bit because they were the chosen race. They were the chosen
mm-hmm.
people, you know, so on and so forth, you know. But and God showed himself mighty to them time after time after time. And the only ones in Israel who really came into a real high thing in God was the ones who humbled themselves and realized that basically they were nothing without God. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they didn't, when they was out in the desert, they didn't understand when he provided the manna from heaven,
right.
And supplied the fowl of the air when they were
mm-hmm.
hungry for
right.
meat.
Right.
And they still didn't, you know.
Right. Well, like I said last Sunday in part of my sermon last Sunday, when Noah sent forth the birds from the ark, he sent forth the raven first.
Yeah.
Well, what was the raven? Ravens are scavengers. They eat dead meat. You know, they eat anything. And then finally, he sent forth the dove. Well, doves don't eat meat at all. They only eat seeds. And you know what we've been. Born again of the incorruptible what?
Seed
of the Word of God, you know. And it has to be something that produces life, you know. Seeds produce life. And, when we come to realize that even in that situation, you know, God chose, and doves are, what are they? What are they a type of? They're a type of something that brings peace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, what did it bring back? Brought back an olive branch, mm-hmm. you know.
Did he send the dove out twice? The second
twice.
Time it come back?
Yes.
Send it out the first time and it came back. And the second time it came back with an olive branch.
Olive branch? Yeah.
Well, God will send his peace back to you time and time again,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that olive branch was a type of that he knew the waters had receded off of the earth, you know. But sent the dove out, sent the raven out twice too.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, two ravens, I think. I believe he sent it out twice, I believe, I'm pretty sure.
I have a question. I would like to hear what the people think. In light of everything that we hear and we believe, is death a reality? Is death just a phantom? You know, how are you born again if you don't die?
Well, the thing about it is what is death? I mean, that they have to ask that question first of all. What is death?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus, when he was walking with him, and one of his disciples said, "Let suffer me to go bury my father." What was his reply?
Let the dead bury the dead.
Yeah. So what was he saying? If you
don't
know me, if you aren't you're dead already. You're not living in life. Uh-huh. You're living in a deathly realm. You know, you just haven't laid down yet is what it amounts out to.
Wow, yeah, that's a neat.
Yeah, and all of the world out there that don't know Jesus Christ, they're walking in death.
But the table is a snare.
Yeah. They're walking in the realm of death.
You don't have the
until they
ears
acknowledge
to hear,
and
the eyes to
see.
They're dead.
Yeah.
They're in the, yeah.
Yeah, and until they acknowledge him who is altogether life.
Mm-hmm.
See, life is not... It's not something you grasp out there. What did Jesus say? I am the what?
Way.
The truth. And the what?
Life.
The life. He is the life.
Mm-hmm.
And he who has the Son has what?
Life.
You got life. And they're still functioning in the realm of death because they haven't come to recognize what true life is. Mm-hmm. True life is the knowledge of him, the fellowship with him. The acknowledgement of that he is your very life.
You know, over in 10, here it says, let me see, because if you, this is at verse 9, so because you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified and declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he confesses and declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. Because the scripture says that no man who believes in him, who adheres to, relies on, trusts in him, will ever be put to shame or be disappointed.
Mm.
No one, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all of us, and he generously bestows his riches upon all who call upon him in faith. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, invoking him as Lord, will be saved.
And what's going to happen eventually? Every knee shall bow, and every what?
Tongue
shall confess.
Invoke the name of the Lord.
And that right what you just said there, they're going to have to confess that, and they will confess that. You know, now what they'll have to go through before they confess that, we don't know. You know what I mean?
Because we went through things before we did.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And they might go through things on this side of the veil or on the other side of the veil. We don't know. I mean, those are a lot of things that we don't know about, you know. And you know, we can speculate or we can guess or whatever, but that's exactly what it is speculation and guessing until the Lord really opens it up and reveals it to us, you know.
That's becoming one of my most common prayers.
Uh-huh.
Lord, I want to know you,
even
as I am known.
There you go.
You know, I want to know his ways.
And what does it say? He'll give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
And when your heart is desiring him,
you're gonna
know him in that sense.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's right now or when you step through the veil into eternal life, who knows? I mean, I.
Be transformed into that by the renewing of your mind.
Renewing of your mind, yeah.
when people cross over, uh-huh. I was Paul saying he was caught up into the third heaven.
Right.
So you know in heaven that mm-hmm. there's different dimensions
different
in him.
Mm-hmm.
In him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I had questioned God before, and I was thinking, so when you cross over, everybody isn't in the same place. Mm-hmm. I believe when you cross over, mm-hmm. you're in the place that you were in him, in here. And that,
but with a fuller understanding.
Yes, mm-hmm. but I don't believe that we just cross over and you know how we think we're seeing everybody, that everybody isn't in, that crosses over in the same place.
Well, right. See, I've actually had people, I think, get mad at me a couple times because they get so enthralled about, well, I can't wait, and please don't misunderstand when I say this. People will say, I can't wait until I die and go to heaven and get to see my grandma and my, mm-hmm. my aunts and my uncles mm-hmm. and all this kind of stuff. I have told people, this is the way I feel about that. I feel like when you cross over into the total presence of the Lord, you're going to be so enthralled with that presence that nothing else is going to matter. Because the glory will be so great, and it'll be such a magnificent thing and such a wonderful thing. You know, scripture says, eye has not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And when you realize that you come back into being such a part of God, you know, that literally you have the fullness like Jesus had, I really don't think any of that other thing, those other things are going to matter. Mm-hmm. You know, now I know that upsets a lot of people because they say, I can't wait to see grandma or grandpa or whatever. And I'm not saying that you won't see them. I don't know about that.
I believe
you do. But I'm just saying
yeah.
that when you get into the presence of the Lord, and if you've entered into high realms of praising God before, you know, you lose all consciousness of time and things and everything. Nothing else matters because that presence is so glorious. And that's only a small, teeny foretaste of what is going to be, I feel like, when you really come into the full presence of God. Now, like I say, I'm not saying that you won't know people or that, you know, I don't know about all that. But I will tell you, you're going to come into such a glorious place. I really don't think any of that's going to matter. I really don't. It matters on this side because we miss those folks and we want to see them. But I honestly believe that look at what happened with Peter and them when they went up into the Mount of Transfiguration. Okay, they saw Moses and they saw Elijah and there was Jesus talking with them. Yeah. And what did they say? What did Peter say? He went into the natural realm and said, well, good Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And that inner glory of Jesus broke forth to the outside. And then the voice spoke to him and told him, this is my beloved son, hear him. And then what happened after that? They saw no man except Jesus only. And I'm just telling you, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm just saying that the glory is going to be so great when you come into that full presence of God. I don't think any of that other stuff is going to really matter. I believe that their presence will be the same as your presence. They're enthralled with God. Mm-hmm. None of that, I really don't think any of that's going to make any difference. I really don't.
I look at visions that I have had.
Right.
And I know God.
Right.
And it was after Bill Britton had passed.
Uh-huh.
And I was going past my mom and dad's house in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And this country road past them. And I looked over into the sun shining so brightly because it was towards the west.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Bill Britton. Mm-hmm. This vision came before me. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking. And there's miles in between, and I was caught up in this vision. I don't remember nothing in between there. And when I come to myself, I was at County Line Road, which is some miles down. But there was Bill Britton standing on like a hillside, reminding me of the bowels, you know, the mountain. And he was speaking. He was speaking. And in the midst of this multitude of people, I was just enthralled by looking at this multitude, and I looked, and there was my father, and standing next to him was a man that he'd become friends with when they were in the hospital, who had a brain tumor. Really, God used my dad to minister to him. And I went and prayed with him, and that, while he's in the hospital. And they went to the same doctor, so they saw each other off and on, became friends. And he died a month before my dad did. And you can see my dad said, oh, my buddy passed, and that the next month, my dad. And they were enthralled with the word that was coming forth. I look at this little boy that was little, and you know, said, heaven is real. And the experiences that he had, and met his sister that, I don't know if y'all ever saw the movie or read the book. And then his sister wants sending us people that have passed, came back, and their experiences. So I know, you know, the different experiences. Yes, I believe we're enthralled by God. And when we come in his presence and just praying and worshiping and coming. And then his sister babysat for Tobias. And Tobias shared with us, he said a nugget, that golden nugget, you know, that God had given. And she had an experience in God, where God had, she shared this with Tobias. I've never heard it, and we were friends, but she shared it with Tobias. And she shared things with me. And she said, Tobias told us that she shared with him, he was, you know, young, that God had to put his hand over her heart. She felt like she was just going to birth or die, didn't you? Because of revelations in God that he was sharing. It made me think of Paul being caught up into the third heaven, you know.
Things that were not legal to tell.
Yes, and she's, there was things he showed that she couldn't even tell him. Didn't he say that? He said, but how real it was and what she had shared, you know, with him. And I know that when people pass, I used to think, well, they're never gonna, when they go over there, and they're not gonna be talking to us. But Charles did. And I know it was real. I felt like if I would have pulled that curtain back in the tub, he'd have been standing there. And he said to me, I was thinking about all his body, you know, what he went through with his dialysis and this and here. And I was just thinking about it. You ever have one of these big cries? I would go in the bathroom. And he said, Mom, just like that, like he was scolding me. He said, all that I had before doesn't matter anymore. And then he said, I've just seen Jesus. And he said it with such. And I truly believe that.
I believe that too. I believe what you're saying.
We were standing in church, and I know Charles and I had, and I top by side. You have different relationships with your children because they're different. Charles was always me. He was in trouble, and he had this, and in prison, and out, and all this. But we talked and prayed together, and there was a deep relationship we had, mother and son. And I know how, you know. And so when I was in church one Sunday, not long after he passed, and I shared this with Buddy, we were singing these two songs, I Thirst for You, and he always came in. He sat behind Buddy, over there on the end, that's where he sat. And we were standing up praising the Lord and singing, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw this white. And I thought it was, what's the woman that sits right behind us?
Sherry.
I thought it was her daughter that came in, because I knew they had on something white. And I went on praising the Lord. But they didn't move on down next to her, in that seat where he always was. And the presence was so real. And then I looked back, when I went to sit down, looked back, there was nobody there. And you couldn't tell. I was sharing with Buddy on the way home.
You know, what you were saying there, what sticks out to me the most is the fact that God was reassuring you that he was okay.
Yes.
That you knew he was okay. Mm-hmm. And what did he say to you when he kind of hollered out at you?
I've just seen
what Jesus.
And his voice was so excited. And
but
super.
See, you needed that. You really needed that. And God will give you whatever you need. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you won't know people on the other side or presence or whatever. But I think it'll all become just the presence of God, because they're a part of God.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Just like Jesus said, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when you read down through there, and there's going to come a time when everything is turned back completely into God, you know, if you read it and you really understand what it's saying there, you know, that God may be all and in all. Well, if he's all in all, then what is it? When you see them, what have you seen? When Jesus said, when you see me, what have you seen? You've seen the Father.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. I think it's going to be so beyond the glory that I can't even express what I'm trying to tell you. I think it's going to be so glorious, so wonderful.
I didn't doubt that Charles was with him.
No, I'm not saying that, but he was saying that for you to comfort you. See, he knew you needed that comfort. God knew you needed that comfort, and he sent that to you.
What is it in my mother that I long to see again?
Yeah.
It was the Christ that was in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like I say, don't get me wrong. I know people misunderstand it when I say that. But what I'm really saying is there's going to come a time when you transition into the other side, and all creation transitioned into the other side. When I look at Brenda, I'm not going to see Brenda anymore. Mm. You know, I'm going to see Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see the presence of God. You know, that's why Jesus could say to them, when you've really seen me, you've seen the Father, because that me and the Father are one. And when you see me, you've seen him, really see me. That's what he was saying. And that's why he said, have I been with you so long and you haven't really known me yet? You know, well, no, they hadn't really known him yet. They were going to learn a lot more as they went along. And when Paul was caught into the third heaven, and what did he say? He said he seen and he heard things that were unlawful for him to even speak. He couldn't even share them. You know, and I know I hear people talking about the seventh heaven and 14th heaven and all that kind of stuff. I don't know about all that. Scripture doesn't go there, so I leave that alone. If God takes them up to a place like that, that's fine. You know, but I'm not going to say that unless God shows that to me, because I'm going to share what the Word says. Paul said he was caught up to the third heaven. I know there's three realms. There was the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. What was in the Holy of Holies? The Shekinah glory of God, you know. And does it get any greater than that? You know, that was a type and a shadow, you know, of the real thing.
Do you know the pastor that just passed, John Ware, and his daughter, when his grandson Christopher was 14 years old, just dropped dead on the basketball court.
Yeah.
Pastor of the church where they went, and the son, his son and this boy were best of friends, and they played basketball together. And his grandmother, Joanne, which I'm close to them, and called, be praying that, you know, Christopher just fell, and they could revive him, and they get in the, what's the thing they had that you, it was locked up, and they didn't have no key, but they could, they couldn't get it, you know. And so his dad was walking around in circles and praying and just over him when they were working on him. And she called back and told me he had passed. They was at the emergency room, they couldn't revive him.
Yeah.
That early in the morning, I can't tell you whether I was awake or asleep, God gave me this vision. I was there seeing it. And there was Christopher standing like crossed over. He was standing there. I could see Krista. And then it was like this man and woman was meeting him, and beside, standing behind, was Jesus. Mm-hmm. This was so real. I had this vision that I told it to a guy that my son knew that could draw, and he drew it. I could draw. He's an artist, and he drew it when he was in prison, and he drew it on this big handkerchief light. And it was as I saw it. You know, I just tried. Anyway, they were so moved when I was sharing it with them, because the father's sister, the aunt, was in, I think it was California, it was another state, and she was worried about Christopher in the natural, unknown, and being fearful. Mm-hmm. And then, but I knew, you know, you don't see things clear, like the face, like I knew that was Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the two people were his grandparents, which was his grandmother's parents. And he knew then, but he was like five, real little, when they passed. Mm-hmm. I don't know, this is what I saw, and this is what I shared with him. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was comfort for them. Mm-hmm. And she, when they told her the vision, she just cried, because she said, I just was afraid he would be afraid that he would, you know, but in God's presence or not. But this, I know all of this is for us. You know, the visions, the dreams. I can't tell you I was awake or asleep, but I know it was real, and like I was like in the midst of it, seeing it, you know.
Well, let me say this too. Maybe this will help clarify what I'm saying to you. What does Scripture say that all of them that went before us, they're waiting for us to do what? To come into perfection.
Yes.
Because they couldn't do that without us. So what does that tell you? That tells you that even though they're on the other side, and even though they're in the presence of the Lord, they haven't came to that total perfection yet. Does that sound right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because why are they waiting for us? They're encouraging us to go on into perfection. Yeah. And that's what I told. That's what I told you originally when Dura asked me. She says, Brother Oscar, and I mean, she was dead serious, I could tell, because she was troubled, you know. She says, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure. And she says, where do you think Benny is like that? And I told her, I said, I believe he's one of the great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, urging us to go on into perfection. Why is that? Because he can't enter in until we enter in. Mm-hmm. The first will be last. And what? The last will be first.
Doesn't it?
I mean, I believe this part of what I'm telling you because of Scripture. I believe because I can put the Scripture with it to explain it to you. Mm-hmm. But don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that God, that you know, look what happened with Samuel. And with Saul, when Saul went and went to that soothsayer or whatever it was, and what did she do? She called up Samuel. And what did Samuel say to Saul? What is this that you have done? You know what I mean? You think there's forces like that out there? Yeah, there is.
Yes,
but they don't have dominion over us. No. We have dominion over them in Christ, you know. And you know, Saul was in a bad position then, because he had done something. He had went to the wrong source there, you know. Mm-hmm. And Samuel came up, and what did Samuel say to him? He said, what is this that you've done? You know?
Yeah.
But I'm just, what I'm saying to you is, if we know they desired to look into what God is showing us in this day and age. Mm-hmm. They really did. They saw these things from afar off, but they didn't see it as clearly as we see it today. And have they come into the total fullness of this? Not according to that scripture that I just quoted you, that they're urging us to go on into perfection because they can't enter in without us.
Doesn't the Bible say the heavens have to contain him?
Until the restitution of all things,
yes.
Yeah. And the restitution of all things is if we're all going to find our full completeness mm-hmm. back in God, mm-hmm. where we were before the foundation of the earth.
That's the restitution.
Yeah. That's the restitution. See?
Yeah, when he said he knew us before.
Before we were born in our mother's womb. That's right.
Amen.
So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying I believe everything that you said. I know God can send spirits mm-hmm. back to minister to you. And what are angels but ministering spirits sent to do what? Minister to the heirs of salvation. You're an heir of salvation. Can he send your son back as a ministering spirit to minister to you? Sure. Sure he can. Sure he does. He does do things like that. Does he send angelic beings sometimes to just minister people? Sure he does. But there's going to come, the angels desire to look into the things that God has prepared for us. You know, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? You know, you made him a little lower than the angels. You set him over all the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, but we don't yet see that yet.
Yeah.
Now, we see it in the natural, sort of, but we haven't seen it in the spirit yet, where all things have been put under our feet. Well, but it says, but what do we see? We see Jesus.
Yes.
He was the pattern son. The pattern son, you know.
Yeah.
And we're going to come into a place, I think we're going to come into a place that's going to be so, just so wonderful.
On this side?
Well, if we come to the fullness of it, yeah, on this side, yeah.
Don't you think the scriptures kind of say that?
Well, it says that in Romans the 8th chapter. It says that all creation's groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Yeah,
that's the taking the lid off. Why? Because creation will be set free into the glorious liberty of being what?
I think that's
the children of God.
For,
they're
going to
be
now.
The children of God. And what you were saying about, you know, that vision you saw with Bill Britton. Mm-hmm. What did the ministries like Bill Britton and them do? They brought people up to a knowledge of coming into understanding sonship. And even Preston Eby, he had a thing where I think his father, I don't know if it was an angel or his father, appeared to him one time. And they told him that, don't fret about his father, because he was fretting about his father a little bit, because his father never did receive mm-hmm. that deeper message mm-hmm. that he was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And basically he told him, he said, he sees it now. He sees it now.
They were
papers,
right?
Yeah, I believe they were, something like that. I don't remember the exact thing, because I used to get Preston Eby's papers for years and years and years.
Uh-huh.
And until I felt like the Lord told me he wanted me to stop getting them. And it was just not because there was anything wrong with him, but I felt like he was telling me, son, I'm going to deal with you personally.
Yes.
And I want you to know where it comes from when I deal with you. I want you to know it's coming directly from me and not from somebody else. And I mean, that sounds a little...
No, it really is like your mother told you about knowing him for yourself.
Knowing him for yourself.
That's what it boiled down.
And I love when I see some of the stuff that these guys say out there, and I love it. I mean, I think it's wonderful. But I just feel like that the Lord doesn't really have me follow any of those people anymore.
And he's not giving everything to one person anyway.
No, he's not.
Member body.
No.
So he's given different things to different ones. And God was doing, he's a multifaceted
guy. See, I've heard a bunch of people say to me different times, well, Brother Eby says this, or Ray Prinzing says this, or somebody else says that when in quoting somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
What's he saying to you?
That's my response. What's God speaking to you?
That's it.
Are you listening to just Ray Prinzing or just Preston Eby? Or is God speaking to you?
Yes.
Now, he can speak to you through those people, and there's nothing wrong with that.
But you still got
give the credit where the credit's due. You know, it's not them. It's God speaking to you through them. See?
You better pray.
You better get out of here.
Yes, bro. We get that.
Father, he is.
Thank you.
First, I was taken away from, there's no streets of gold.
Yeah,
that was one. Now you're telling me I'm not going to see my sister.
No, I'm not telling you that.
Yeah. You said I'll see nothing but Jesus. I seen Jesus in my mind.
Uh-huh.
I know him.
I believe he'll let you see what you need to see to get you to where he wants you to be. Does that sound familiar?
That is so good.
He'll have to see my sister first.
You'll see your sister.
And my daddy.
You'll see your daddy.
And my mom.
And your mom.
First.
Well, you'll see the Christ in your dad, the Christ in your
mom, and the Christ in your sister. And you'll look at them and you'll say, you know what? When I'm looking at you, I really see Jesus.
And I love you.
And I love it. Because there's more love there than there used to be. And there's more anointing there than there used to be.
This life that we are living on this earth.
That's what I say. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying there to you. I'm saying, I'm talking to you about a pretty deep realm that God's going to take people into eventually. Now, when that's going to happen and how it's going to happen and all that, I can't tell you. I just know it's going to happen. Well, and that's all I can say.
When I go and you're at my funeral and you're giving the word,
mm-hmm.
you are, aren't you?
If you want me to.
Yes. I want you to say all those things first, and then you say, oh yeah, and she's going to see Jesus too, because I love my sister and my mother and my daddy.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
And you'll see every one of them if you want to see them. God will let you see
every
one
of them.
Well, I do. You will.
I do.
And will you tell me that there are streets of gold?
I will tell you that
you're not going to tell me that, are you?
No, I'm not. There is a street of gold, clear as crystal. You ever seen gold that you know what crystal like? You know what crystal looks like. Light goes through it. And crystal, if I take a piece of crystal from a chandelier and hold it up and let the sunlight shine through, what do I see on the wall? All the colors of the rainbow, it breaks down light. So I can look at that and say, the sun's out there, but look at all the beautiful colors that are in the sun that I don't normally get to see.
Yeah.
And that street of gold that's like crystal, you're gonna walk in a presence that is so wonderful and such an understanding that it's gonna have the eternal